Thank you for tuning in to the Hoboken Grace podcast. We're super excited you're here as we walk into today's message. Our prayer is that it would inspire you on your walk with God and support you in a weekly rhythm of connecting with Him. To access our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Let me ask you a question. Are you a dreamer? It's interesting. The people who are say yes audibly. That doesn't usually happen, but you're a dreamer, so we expect that from you. But it's interesting. I love that song because there's something inside of it. Like just it doesn't matter how many times you hear it. It just there's something that it kind of awakens in you. This passion for dreaming. And it's amazing how that song, it connects with almost everyone. There's a reason why it's still, even my youngest son knows that song. And that song's old. If you're here and you're like, that song's not that old, you're very old. It is an old song. And yet it still connects with us. There's this thing inside of us. And dreaming is an interesting thing. I'll ask people that question, are you a dreamer? And some people will say yes. A few people will say yes. And some people say no. I'm far too practical for that. My oldest son's that way. He's never really been a dreamer. Like, imagination wasn't really his thing. He's played with other kids who had a great imagination. He's like, they see things that aren't there. It's weird. And you know, like, we told him about Santa Claus. He's like, that's stupid. I'm not believing that. It didn't matter. He was like 2 years old. He's like, that's dumb. But some of you have your kids in here. You're like, I can't believe you said that. It's why we have Grace Kids. I say it all the time. But interestingly enough, the answer that I most frequently get when I ask the question, it's not yes or no. The answer I most frequently get is, I used to be. I used to be. And even for some of you right now, when I asked that question, you thought, man, there was a time when I was. Does that mean that I am? I used to be. But life happens, and that kind of, I don't know, just dies. Or at least it takes a backseat to the practicality of life and what you need to get done, what you need to accomplish. Or maybe the dream that you've been working on, it just kind of has taken over, and you don't really dream about it anymore. You're just executing it. But it's interesting. That song has an ability to kind of bring us back there. And for some of us, that's an exciting thing. For others of us, it's a sad thing because you remember, like, oh, there was a time when I dreamed. I'm gonna come back to that. If today's your first time with us, my name's Chris. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. We are launching this new conversation called Imagine. We've been in the longest series we've ever been in for the last couple months. We were just moving through the book of John. We were asking this question, you know, who's the real Jesus? And we moved through the entire book of John, chapter by chapter. It's all online. You can go back. If today's your first time with us, you can go back and listen. We have the whole thing. It's the eyewitness account of Jesus' best friend, of his life. It was incredible. But one of the things that I loved is that when you come to the end of John, and Anthony captured this a couple of weeks ago, you see something that you see at the end of all of the eyewitness accounts. So they share this incredible story of Jesus. They share about Jesus giving his life on that cross. They share about the resurrection of Jesus. And then every single account of Jesus' life, whether you're talking about Matthew, whether you're talking about Peter's account and Mark, or whether you're talking about Luke, as he's talking to all the different eyewitnesses, they all end the same way. Now, John's is a little bit of a twist on it, but it's still the same ending. It all ends with an invitation into a mission. So Matthew ends it this way. It's actually the words of Jesus. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, which is a phenomenal statement in and of itself. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you to the very end of the age. And you see what we typically call the Great Commission at the end of Matthew's account, this invitation, Jesus is saying to them, okay, everything I just did, everything that you saw, everything that you heard from me, it all is leading up to this. I want to invite you into this mission with me. Now, John's is a little bit of a twist, because when you come to the end of John, we saw it. Anthony walked us through this incredible conversation that Jesus has with Peter. Peter thinks that he's done, that he's out, because he denies Jesus three times. And then Jesus engages him in this back and forth of, do you love me? He asked three times because Peter had denied him three times. Peter realizes, oh, wait, we're talking about the fact that I've been disqualified. And then Jesus says, okay, I want for you to follow me. I want for you to feed my sheep. No, I'm not done with you, Peter. And again, you see that invitation into the mission. He says, I want for you to be a part of what it is that I'm doing. And whether it's John or Matthew, all of them come to the end and they say, okay, now I want to invite you into this. Now, here's why this is significant. And we're going to talk about this a lot over the next couple of weeks. The reason why this is significant is because you need to understand that the mission of Jesus and what Jesus did and the reason that he gave his life and the reason that he rose from the dead, the mission of Jesus was not just to save you from something. People talk about all the time what it is that we're saved from, and it's really significant. I'm not saying it's not significant. What we're saved from is incredibly significant. And Jesus takes all of our sin on him and all of our brokenness and all the ways that we've disrespected our Father. He takes all of that on him and pays for it. And he saves us from the penalty of our sin. He saves us from the shame of our sin. What he saves us from is incredible. But the reason that all of them end the way that they do is because they all want you to understand. And many of us don't understand this that well. That you're not just saved from something, you're actually saved for something. You're not just saved from something, you're saved for something. And so they go through the whole thing and they all end with, okay, so now join me in this mission. Now I want for you to step into this mission with me. You're saved for something. Peter, I didn't just do this to rescue you from the fact that you denied me. I didn't just do this to pay for that. I did this because I have something for you. And one of the things that I want for us to sit with, and we're going to be moving through this for the next couple of weeks here, is I want us to sit with that reality. Wait, I was rescued for something. And if you're here today and you've never experienced that rescue, I want to invite you into that. And I want for you to experience being rescued from what it is that our sin deserves. I want for you to experience that forgiveness. But if you were to ask me, what do you love most about Jesus? It's not what I was rescued from. It's what I was rescued for. And the fact that Jesus steps into my life and says, no, you get to be part of something significant. You get to be part of what it is that I'm doing in the world. And to me, I know it's a little bit different with different people, but for me, the idea that I'm not just eternal, but that I get to be eternally significant is phenomenal. That I get to be part of an eternally significant story is phenomenal. And Jesus says, listen, this is what it is that we're doing. And this isn't just for Peter. This is why all of them end the same way. It's for every single one of us. No, you were saved for something. You were rescued for something. And I want you to join me in this. Ephesians talks about it this way. He says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Before this whole thing started, not only did he know that he was going to rescue you before this whole thing started, he's like, no. I have something for them to do. You were saved for something. You were rescued for something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you're rescued for something. Don't look at me. I said your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor and tell them. Now, actually say it again to them. You're rescued for something. And God says, no, I want for you to join me in this. And what I love about this too is when you look at that song, all of the dreams are about what's out there. All of the dreams are about somewhere else. And so it's if I could get beyond the clouds, if somewhere over the rainbow, somewhere out there. What I love about this is that Jesus steps in our life and says, no, I want to invite you into something eternally significant. And here's the thing. It's not somewhere out there. It's not somewhere where there's no clouds. And inside the song, the clouds are about the storm, right? It's about the brokenness. It's about the pain of the world. But God doesn't say, listen, I want to invite you into something. But it's out there, or it's somewhere in the future. No, he says, I want to invite you into what I'm doing right now, right here. Jesus says this to his disciples in John 10. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Not eventually, not in the future, not some other time, right now. And I want for you to be a part of everything that we saw in Jesus' life as we moved through the book of John. What was it about? I want for you to be a part of helping the world to see who the Father actually is. I want for you to be a part of actually piercing those clouds. I want for you to be a part of engaging the brokenness of the world around you and allowing the love of the Father to be seen and to be known. Sometimes people will talk to me about the world around us, and they'll say, that, you know, is it frustrating to you that so many people are saying no to God? And I say consistently, I'm not frustrated that people are saying no to God. I'm frustrated that people are being lied to about him. And most of the world around us, they're not saying no to who the Father actually is because they've never been told the truth about him. And they haven't seen his love in action. And the amazing thing about the Father is that not only does he rescue us, but then he says, okay, now I want for you to be a part of shining that light in the midst of darkness. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing, but it's not somewhere out there and it's not somewhere in the future. It's right now and right here. But if we're going to be a part of that, there's a couple things that are critical. Number one, we have to understand, no, I've been rescued for something. You have to embrace that. To say, no, I'm not insignificant in this. I was rescued for something. And then number two, you have to do something that maybe you've never done before, and maybe you haven't done in a long time. You have to begin to dream again. But in a little bit of a different way. In a little bit of a different way. And even if you're here and you say, I'm a dreamer, I think it's a little bit different. Because I asked you the question, are you a dreamer? Let me ask you the second question. Have you ever dreamed with God? Have you ever imagined with God? Yeah, your look is pretty much the look that I usually get when I ask the question. People will be like, what? I don't think you do that. I don't think that's something that you do with God. Which is surprising. It's interesting how there's so many different things in the way that we think about God or the way that we picture God that are wrong. So I also encounter this when I ask people if they've ever laughed with God. And I'll ask them, have you ever laughed with God? And they'll say, just kind of like what they do with the dreaming thing, like, I don't think you really do that. I don't think that God would be a laugh guy. Which is ironic, because he created it. Like, you realize that, right? Like, he created laughter. It's one of the funniest things he did. It's a weird thing. If you actually think about it, laughter is a weird thing. He says, okay, I'm going to create them. I'm going to give them humor. He creates humor. They're going to find certain things humorous. And not only are they going to find certain things humorous, but then we're going to do this. We're going to make them, when they find something to be humorous, to make weird noises. See? And some of them are going to make really weird noises. And if it's really, really, really humorous, then they're going to snort like a pig. That's funny. And he created it. But you don't think he's a laughter guy? I don't think the dreaming, like dreaming with God, you do realize he's the one who dreamt all of this up. He imagined it, and then he created it. All of it, the complexity of it, the beauty of it, the craziness of it. You don't think he wants to engage you in that? And don't miss this too. This is really interesting. This is one of the unique ways that you were created in the image of God. So Genesis talks about the fact that not only are we created by God, but that we're created, we're different from creation. Genesis calls this out. He says, actually, humans are different from creation in a bunch of different ways, but one of them is specifically this. He creates us in his image. So there are certain things that are unique about us that reflect who God is. So Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You're created in the image of God. And one of the interesting ways that you're created in the image of God is that you have the ability to imagine. Nothing else in creation can imagine. You have the ability to dream. Now, obviously, hopefully you understand I'm talking about dreaming, like picturing the future. I'm not talking about when you go to sleep and things happen. I'm not talking about nightmares. I'm talking about, because some of you are like, wait, my dog dreams. I know, I have a dog, he falls asleep. I don't know what's happening. Sometimes it terrifies me. Yeah, I'm not talking about that kind of dreaming. I'm talking about the ability to imagine the future. Nothing else in creation does that. And there's, I actually researched this a lot over the last couple of weeks. There's all these philosophers that write about why and to what extent, but all of them agree on this, that nothing else in creation has the ability to imagine. Birds aren't imagining skyscrapers. Like, hey, if we got together and we really worked hard, we could turn this nest into like a 4-floor deal. Like, we might be able to get indoor plumbing. They're not imagining that. You have the ability to imagine. That should actually blow you away. But God creates you, and this is really one of the most amazing things about human beings. God creates you in his image, and the creator creates you to create. He says, I want for you to be like me in this way. I want for you to create. And really what he does, if you look at the creation story, is that he creates the world and he says, here's your creation playground. Now I want you to move into this garden. I want you to care for it. I want for you to imagine the names for the animals, he says. And he calls them to begin to create, to imagine, to dream. And yet many of us have never actually done that with him. If you're gonna engage God in this journey of what it is that you're created for, that has to change. If you're gonna discover what it is that you were created for, that has to change. Then you have to begin to imagine, okay, God, what would that look like? And to engage this story differently. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture is found in the book of Hebrews. And it says this in Hebrews 10:39. It says, "But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." There's another translation that talks about it in terms of leaning in. In other words, we are not of those who shrink back. We don't engage the story leaning back. We actually engage the story leaning in. In other words, we're moving into the future with this idea of anticipation and expectation. And as you move forward from that passage in Hebrews, he begins to talk about all these heroes of the faith. And so he begins to talk about Abraham, and he begins to talk about Moses, and he moves through this incredible list of people that God did unbelievable things through, and all of them engage God in this dream. I mean, think about Abraham. God's like, "Hey, I'm going to turn you into a family." Abraham had to do some serious dreaming for that to happen. He had to do some serious imagining. It's like, we're getting pretty old. This is going to be a crazy dream. But he kept imagining, okay, God, how are you going to do this? What is this going to look like? Have you ever dreamed with God? And don't miss this. Your imagination is powerful. As a matter of fact, you have to be very careful with your imagination. I once had a mentor who said this to me. He said, "The power of your imagination is significant." And he was talking about this as it pertains to who it is that we daydream about. He said, "If you continue to allow yourself to daydream about that other person at work who's not your spouse, don't be surprised if one day your imagination comes rushing into reality." Your imagination's powerful, for good or for bad. And I've talked to tons of people who, they look at me in my office and they say, "How did I get here? I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I did that. I don't know how that happened." Well, it doesn't start with something you do. It starts with something that you dream. And what you imagine. Self-help teachers talk about this. They'll talk about manifesting something. Maybe you've heard this idea. People will come up to me and say, "I manifested it." Like it's magic. Like it's magic. No, that's not how it works. Imagination is, though, really powerful. It's not magical. It's just really powerful. It has the ability to reorient you. If you allow yourself to dream about something, it's kind of like when you're looking at something. I learned this years ago. I was driving. I was 15 years old. I remember exactly where I was in Nashville to this day because it scared me so bad. And there was this car that came up beside me. I was 15, so I hadn't been driving for that long. And this car comes up beside me. And I think it was like a Corvette. It was a beautiful car. And so I look over at the car as I'm driving, and I came an inch from hitting that car. I mean, an inch. And I was like, "What happened?" And my dad said, "Well, wherever you look, that's where you will eventually be." And all of us know this. You learned this when you were riding your bike. I try to teach my boys this. They won't listen to me. They're riding their bike. They're like, "Oh, there's a tree. There's a tree." I'm like, "Don't look at the tree. Don't look at the tree. Why? If you keep looking at the tree, what are you going to do? You're going to hit the tree." It's the power of focus. It's the power of... And your life... It's amazing how it, well, what you imagine, it has the ability to become reality. And God created you with the ability to create. It's incredible. For bad or for good. As a matter of fact, one of the most significant things that we do here at Hope and Grace began with a dream. And one of our members, Kara, was like, man, I would love to be able to provide gifts for kids who don't have gifts on Christmas here in Hoboken. And so she started with 3 or 4 families. And then she didn't know how to stop. And she's a dreamer. She really is. And then it was 20. And then it was like 40. She's like, I can't do all this. Would you guys do this with me? And we're like, sure. We set out with a dream. And I remember when we said this. We said, our dream is that no child in our city would go without a gift on Christmas morning. Crazy dream. Never going to happen. You're not going to do that. It's a town of 60,000 people. You're never going to do that. We have. We actually have. We've done it. And it all started with a dream. With someone who realized, I'm not just saved from something, I'm saved for something. And God, what could you do? What's possible? What could we do for? What could we do there? You have to understand and embrace. I'm not just saved from something, I'm saved for something. And then you have to be willing to dream with God. To say, okay, what's possible? It's not about escaping the clouds. You have to engage the clouds. As a matter of fact, it's usually as you're engaging the brokenness. As Kara was engaging those situations with certain families, that's when the dream began. And what God wants to do is not somewhere over the rainbow. It's right here. But you have to be willing to engage that dream to see where it is that God's going to take you and what it is that he wants to do. I want you to hear the story of someone who's been doing that for a couple of years now and to see how God's been using that in her life. Check this out.
My name is Danielle, and I'm originally from Millstone, New Jersey. I grew up Catholic, which I felt like was more of a label that I adopted rather than something that I really embodied. When COVID hit, it was a really challenging time for most people. I know that I'm not alone in that, but at the time, I was full-time professionally dancing and also fitness instructing, and that came to a halt overnight, really, and at that point, I realized that I was putting so much of my identity in the jobs that I had, but at the time, it just left me feeling really lost. I had no idea who I was as a person outside of the roles that I was in. In that industry, there's so much external validation that when that was all stripped away, I didn't know what was next. And that's kind of where God starts to pop into my story. Once Blake and I came to Hope, Hope, and Grace for the first time, we pretty much jumped into everything fairly quickly. God just came into our lives and just overflowed us with wanting to seek him more and really involve him in all aspects of our life. The patience and the love that Blake has shown me through this walk is a direct reflection of God's love. He just always met me where I was and would encourage me to try to be open with it. God showed up in the midst of that and just really took us together on this journey of getting to know him and getting to love him. And because of that, we've been able to love each other better, and we were able to walk into marriage like knowing what we were committing to and having that foundation of faith. We both took Starting Point to sort of understand better the foundations of faith for ourselves. And then we joined Dinner Group and we started serving on the greeting and ushers team. On Easter in 2021, Blake and I got baptized together, and it was just the most incredible day. God just made us feel so loved, and he surrounded us by our family. It felt so guided by by God and being able to be obedient in that way and take that step together. This was just such a whirlwind time in our life where God just came in and he was like, if you make space for me, like, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna do work in you and I'm gonna use you to impact other people. And he's just continued to since we said yes to him. I didn't know that you could like be called to something and be, you know, you're made for this purpose. I didn't understand that disconnect when I was, you know, just doing a job I didn't really like. After going back into the field and like being on the beginning of my faith journey, I just knew that I wasn't feeling fulfilled. I wasn't feeling like I was making a difference. And so I was just asking my dinner group for prayers. I was asking God to guide me, to bring me where he wants me to be. One thing led to another. And on my 30th birthday, I got a job offer from Hope, Hope and Grace. It just brought me to tears instantly because I knew when I got that job offer, I knew I was taking it. He has more planned for my life than I could ever imagine. And it's cute that I think that I'm in control, but really, he's the one at the end of the day that he knows what's best for me. And I have so much faith in that now that I'm just along for the ride. I want him to use me. I want to be his hands and feet. And in this job, I feel so blessed that I really get to do that and get to experience and help other people experience God firsthand in a way that I hadn't for so long. And also minister to children where like, I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know that there was a possibility to relate to him in this way. It's so special to me because I wish that I had had that for so much more of my life. And it's part of my story, but now I get to help them meet Jesus and grow up with him. And it's the most beautiful thing. Over the past couple of years, God has just completely shown up in ways that I could have never imagined. And now my faith is the most important thing that matters really to me. There's a verse that says, in Christ, you find out who you are and what you're living for. And I just feel like God brought that to me at a time that I really needed it. And it's just been part of my journey over the past couple of years. You know, you're not gonna find yourself out in the world. You're not gonna find yourself in your job or in your clothes or in your friendships. When you put your identity in Christ, there's just so much comfort there. There's so much love there. And it's really the most beautiful experience. And it has changed my life completely.
Are you willing to start dreaming? As we move through the next few weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the story of this individual named Nehemiah. And his story is really phenomenal because he was willing to begin to dream with God about what was possible. And we see how he moves, not just how he engages the dream, but then how he moves through that and what that looks like to take it. Well, what you see God doing and begin to put it into action. Because this is not just a theory thing. This is about actually joining God in what it is that we were created, that we were saved, that we were rescued for. And so I want to invite you with us to begin that process. But it starts, for some of you today, you haven't experienced that rescue. And I keep talking about it, and you're like, man, that seems really significant. I want that, but I'm not just inviting you. The invitation of Jesus is not just, I want to rescue you from. As a matter of fact, what is his invitation to all of his followers? I want for you to come follow me. Follow me. We're going somewhere. We're doing something. All of it is about what it is that he's doing in the world and us joining him in it. And so my invitation to you today, and listen, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. It's an invitation of grace. You see that with Peter. It was an invitation of grace. I want to invite you, but I want to invite you to not just experience what you were rescued from, but to experience what you were rescued for. And some of you need to make that decision to say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I'm done living for that which is temporary and insignificant. I want to be part of your significant story. And then for others of you, you've stepped into that relationship. And today's just the beginning. But it begins with you being willing to say, okay, God, I want to dream with you. Okay. I want to imagine how the world can be different. What it is that you want to do through me to allow your light to shine in that darkness, to allow your love to be known, for people to know who you actually are. Are you willing to dream with him? You have no idea. You have no idea how he can use that. And the reality is, in Danielle's story, in my story, when you start that journey, you don't know where he's going to take you, but I promise you this, it will be exactly what you were created for, and it will be the most fulfilling thing you've ever done. If you're willing to say, okay, I want to begin to dream with you. We bow your heads. Father, as we come before you today, I just want to pray for those who are here who haven't yet experienced that rescue. I pray that today they would decide, no, I'm done with the temper. I want to live a life that's eternally significant. I pray for those who are here and they've stepped in that relationship. Maybe they've never even thought about the reality that they're saved for something. I pray that today you begin to develop in them a dream. Father, I think of how you've used that in so many different ways. Think of how this church started that way. Dreaming with you of what could happen in this city. Think of how we've been able to impact the city in so many different ways through people who are willing to dream with you. Okay, God, what did you rescue me for? I just invite you, before we go into this last song, right where you are, if you're willing to go to him and say, God, I want to know, what was I rescued for? Dad, I want to know, what was I rescued for? In Jesus' name.